Who's heard of Kanye West? I imagine you all have. Even if you hate his music, you probably know a few songs. But we're not here to talk about his music. We aren't here to discuss his offense against Taylor Swift or his divorce with Kim Kardashian, either. Hell, we aren't even here to discuss him. Not really. Today, our focus is on Kanye Quest 3030, one of the greatest ARGs of its time. Or was it? Part of what made it so successful is the genuine inability to tell if you were playing a game or if you had accidentally stumbled onto some dangerous cult's recruitment tool. This unlicensed RPG was created with RPG Maker and released for free download on July 22, 2013. It combined a hip-hop icon with science fiction and became an instant classic as tens of thousands played through it the seemingly inconspicuous leveling. At first, there was nothing more to it. The creator was simply known by the username Phoenix, and there was no reason to dig any further. Until years later, when an entirely new level was discovered hidden within the game, and the word of Kanye Quest's real purpose began to spread. Suddenly, people had to know who Phoenix was. Our society has a long, painful history with cults. But have you ever really thought about why? The word alone is enough to put us on edge, especially when some of the most well-known examples consist of groups such as the Manson family and Heaven's Gate, the one where 39 people successfully coordinated a concerted effort to end their own lives. But those are only two drops in a deep, toxic ocean. Whether it's doomsday preppers, religious fanatics, or con artists, all cults need to recruit. And a large part of their success stems from the ability to choose the right victims. Those most likely to fall prey to these organizations are young, easily manipulated, and emotionally vulnerable, with either strained family ties or none at all. New college students are often targeted because it can be assumed they're far from home and still finding their identity. Likewise, those who were neglected and abused as children are especially susceptible for their tendency to seek validation, often from an authority figure. In other words, these groups prey on our weak. They offer these kids a new family, a better life. They draw them in like flies to a honey trap and build them up. But all the while, they're tearing them down. They're making them fully dependent on the cult. Then, once they have a fresh piece of meat, they'll do anything to keep them isolated from outside influences. A social psychologist, Alexandra Stein, said, "When we are frightened, we don't simply run away from fear. We run to a safe haven, to someone. That someone is usually a person to whom we feel attached. But when the supposed safe haven is also the source of the fear, then running to that person is a failing strategy, causing the frightened person to freeze, trapped between approach and avoidance." In short, I think part of the reason cults instill such a sense of unease is because, at some point in our lives, we've all been that perfect victim. Or at least uncomfortably close to it. How many of us could easily have fallen the other way? It's like being caught in a mousetrap. Only after the trap slams down onto the mouse's tail does it realize what it's actually walked into. Main storyline. For nearly 2 years, the main storyline was all the world knew of Kanye Quest 3030. The opening cutscene told you the year was 2010, and then you watched as Kanye West emerged from an apartment building with a bag of trash. On his way to the dumpster, he trips and falls into a portal. A portal that teleports him into the year 3030. When the world is a much darker place. The United States is now a dystopian society ruled by a clone of the rapper, Little B, and he believes himself to be a god. He hired the Bay Scott Task Force for protection, but they recently started a rebellion and began controlling the population by brute, militaristic force. Now, it's your job to travel around the city and defeat other rappers in random challenges. Much like the wild encounters in the Pokemon games, The battles are also turn-based, and each musician has their own special moves, strengths, and weaknesses. Throughout the game, computer terminals tell you where to go and what to do next. But the ultimate goal is to defeat all of the evil rapper clones to overthrow Little B and restore the true Bass God order. Upon completing the game, Kanye is sent back to 2010, where he wakes up to discover it was all just a dream. The end. For a while. Ascension level. Eventually, a secret was noticed, and a new area was discovered. Discussion began to appear in forums and on YouTube, many of which are gone now. But on January 28th of 2015, an anonymous user posted an information dump to Pastebin that explains it pretty well. So, without further ado, welcome to the Ascension level. To get there, you must walk into an abandoned building in Bay Area 3030. It's the futuristic area in the game. Inside the building is a broken terminal. The majority of its letters are swapped with periods and backslashes, leaving it only semi-comprehensible. But what first appears to be gibberish translates into "Ascend and worship the Based God." Like the poster of this glorious information dump, anyone who saw this while playing would likely think it was simply a random fluff message. But it's actually so much more. Soon after, you'll meet a Based God task force cultist who asks, "What do you want to do?" You're then given 6 blank spaces in which you can type any characters. Following the advice of a now-deleted YouTube video, the poster typed "Ascend" and was rewarded with the following message. "Congratulations. You've proven yourself to be an open-minded and curious thinker. We must apologize for deceiving you, but we can reveal that the game you were playing until this point was a front, constructed to protect what you are currently accessing. We must ask that you do not reveal this area to the public. If you believe that you may be prone to revealing information, or do not wish to participate, please close this program immediately by pressing Alt F4 or selecting the No option when it appears. By selecting the Yes option, you agree to participate and not reveal information. You're then prompted to either click Yes or No. Obviously, if you've come this far, you want to click Yes. And once you do, another message appears. The following is a thought exercise designed to help teach you something beneficial. By undertaking this exercise, you will hopefully be affected in a positive way. Due to the nature of the exercise, this something cannot be revealed immediately. This exercise may or may not be restricted to this software. It is important to remember that the purpose of this exercise is to benefit you. You will not be timed. We cannot provide any more information, except that we wish you good luck. You may begin now. Welcome to your ascension. Once you regain control, your avatar is a butterfly. The world is in grayscale. The cheery music has been replaced by a strange bell sound, and disconcerting voices can be heard in the background, like people conversing in the next room, but you can't quite make out what they're saying. The level consists of several hallways separated by locked doors, and each one is smaller than the last. Inside each are a few terminals, all of which contain a Roman numeral and a line of 8 blank spaces. The objective is to solve a series of puzzles which will reveal the passwords required to progress through each locked door. It can absolutely feel as if your intelligence is being tested. In the first hallway is a large, 4-room area with a black and white mural in the center. Screenshotting each side of the mural and piecing it together reveals a QR code, but the website it leads to is long dead now, even via the Wayback Machine. The poster had questions, but wasn't able to track down Phoenix's contact information. They tried reaching out to someone simply listed as a scripter, but had no luck there either. Deciding to dig a little deeper, they noticed the end of the game's trailer featured Morse code for Ascend, and the YouTube page also contained a link to a Tumblr profile with the same Morse code arrangement. At the same time, nothing on the internet linked the word and the game at all. Without a working QR code, there was no longer a way to receive the password. The only way to proceed was by opening the game's files in RPG Maker. There, in the event scripts, were all of the passwords to each locked door. The first three were strange words that appeared to be a foreign language, or made up entirely. Jagatai, Patunsi, and Ian. When Googled together, they led to yet another website that is no longer available. But the poster goes on to discuss a well-established New Age cult, Ascensionism, that was running an ARG on YouTube and using the same words. They were also using the word Bolivia, which turned out to be one of the passwords, though the rest seemed to just be random words. In total, there are 34 passwords needed to make it through each of all of the locked doors. You can find a 43-page archive forum on Unfiction showing a group of people working together to solve the puzzles when the mystery was still in its infancy. What appeared to be a simple indie game turned out to be a full-blown, low-key ARG. It went from basic, turn-based battles in the street to sending real-world emails and calling shady phone numbers in hopes of gaining the next puzzle piece. Each time you pass through a locked door, the screen becomes darker and darker until it's completely black, and it remains this way until you enter the 33rd password. The following room is stark white, with a single black terminal inside. But before you can use it, you must initiate a battle with an enemy called JFZZJNMS, even though it ends almost immediately. Finally, you can enter the last password, Micropia, to be rewarded with the following message. You have proven your worth once again. You have ascended. However, further ascension is always possible. If you do not wish to ascend further, your journey ends here. So please close this program by pressing Alt F4 or selecting the No option above. By selecting the Yes option, you agree to participate further, and you grant us permission to interact with your possessions. Would you like to participate? Again, you are given a yes or no to choose from. And if you press no, you are sent back to the title screen. If you press yes, you will receive the following text. Over the following two-week time period, we will interact with you and your possessions in several ways. Keep an eye out, as some of these ways may be subtle. Others may not be. We may attempt to contact you directly. If we do this, we will attempt to notify you of our presence using a keyword. If you still consent to participation, please select the Yes option above. Do you wish to participate? This has already been pretty strange, but if you click Yes once more, you'll receive a form that asks for your first and last name, along with your address. Once submitted, it says, "Please wait. Thank you. Enjoy the next 2 weeks and await instruction." Even if you still retain the belief it was only a game, that final message was enough to shake even the surest skeptics. It's easy to say you believe something. That belief isn't really tested until it's threatening to affect your life. Then, suddenly, anything is possible. Ascensionism. There's no denying the cult vibes in the Ascension level. We only face one real question. Was it made by a genuine cult? The information dump included a summary of what the poster was able to find online at the time, though most of the source websites are gone now. Ascensionism began in 2006, and its main beliefs revolved around the idea that it takes two spirits to make up a whole being. There's a physical spirit, the body, and an ethereal spirit, the soul. Souls are supposed to live lifetime after lifetime until they are able to judge themselves after the death of a physical body. Once they decide they have been sufficiently good, they destroy themselves and become primordial soul stuffs, from which new souls are formed. The poster then specifies that Orthodox Ascensionism believes all souls before combining with the spirit of the body form pacts with the souls of all the beings that they will encounter in the future. In other words, they believe that any harm done to a person is fair game because it was previously agreed upon. It's essentially a way of justifying any transgressions one might commit against another. They also believe the soul is split into two parts if it is cloned, meaning they can't truly die until the clone is also dead. Otherwise, it would simply rejoin with the remaining half. This upsets the Ascensionists. They believe that a soul purges its bad experiences at death, but if one lives for too long and those bad experiences accumulate, the soul will grow evil and twisted over time. In fact, The corrupted souls wandering from clone to clone are actually the shadow people one might see from the corner of their eye. There is also mention of an ancient 9-person group who may have been alive for centuries through the power of cloning, and their clones apparently make up the majority of the shadow people wandering about. This belief system further ties in with Kanye Quest, as they heavily relied on the use of clones in their storyline. There was also a website for a record label, Ascensionism Records, run by Nick Lyons. Multiple people who have donated small quantities to the Ascensionist website via PayPal could see the same name on the receiving end. Likewise, many actually reached out to the employees of the record label, a YouTuber called Psychotrip among them. In 2018, he made videos detailing the discovery of their Twitter account, which seemed to be run by a bot. For years, it had been making daily posts of random gibberish with occasional cryptic messages. Classic ARG material, and there was no evidence of a song being produced for at least 2 years. Knowing he would soon be making new Kanye videos, Psychotrip followed the Twitter account and, within seconds, it followed back and began speaking with him. From what he could tell, this was the first time the account broke character to have a regular conversation. The person behind the account was supposedly Nick Lyons himself, and screenshots used in the video show him accusing Psychotrip of spreading untruths. When asked to clarify which parts were wrong, Lyons claimed they were merely a record label and nothing more, that their social media account was purely to keep in touch with their followers. He firmly denied any and all associations with Kanye Quest 3030. Perhaps if they had been producing music, promoting their business, or even posting funny memes, anything remotely normal, it would have changed how the situation seemed from the outside. But they didn't. They posted senseless gibberish and exactly as one would see in an ARG, while there was an actual ARG with their name all over it. It's really hard not to jump to conclusions, especially given how ARGs have evolved since this time. In order for Nick Lyons to be telling the truth, we would need the mother of all coincidences. Because I think we can agree upon one thing. Lyons is up to something fishy. But is that fishy thing Kanye Quest? To answer that, we must first return to the end of the game. What would happen during those 2 weeks if someone were to put in their information? How do we even begin to find out? In 2019, a YouTuber by the name of Mama Max answered every question on the forum and waited the entire 2 weeks, during which absolutely nothing happened. As it would turn out, the answer lay in the game's coding. It didn't have the ability to connect to the internet. Therefore, it was unable to send the information anywhere. RPG Maker did eventually remove Kanye Quest, but a link to the game remained available on the developer's Tumblr page. Only it was password protected. At the time, rumors spread, stating the original version had the ability to connect to the internet and therefore genuinely send off users' information. But that's all they were. Rumors. Back then, it couldn't be proven one way or the other, but hang in there. Things are different now. Finding Yeezus. In September 2022, two Australian comedians, Cameron James and Alexi Talopoulos, produced a 6-episode web series titled Finding Yeezus, aimed at learning the true identity of Kanye Quest creator, Phoenix. But little did they know how long their suspect list would grow. Ballarat Nick. According to their website, Nick Lyons' Bandcamp was also located in Australia, Ballarat, Victoria, to be exact, only 72 miles from Cameron and Alexi. With this information, they were able to find Lyons' Facebook page and see that they shared a mutual friend, Mark Bonanno, a member of the Auntie Donna comedy group. An interview with Bonanno revealed he first met Lyons when they worked together at Sovereign Hill, an open-air museum that recreates what Ballarat was like during the Gold Rush years. It was their job to perform reenactments, and Lyons would also play music. Though they've been out of contact for at least 10 years, Bonanno remembered him as a, quote, very funny, weird guy, who inspired one of his favorite Auntie Donna sketches. When Cameron and Alexi informed Bonanno of the Kanye Quest conspiracy, they asked if it sounded like something his old friend would do. And he confidently replied, quote, "There's zero doubt in my mind that's come from the Nick that I knew." Intrigued by the mystery, he readily agreed to message Lyons in hopes of learning new information. But the message was left unread for an extended period. At the first of many dead ends, the duo Googled Nick Lyons music, which led them to a very unkind but fair song review left on albumoftheyear.org. We haven't actually discussed the quality of his music thus far, and that's partly because taste in music is subjective, but it's mostly because I'm not sure which words can accurately describe it. Personally, I wouldn't have called it music. To me, it sounded like someone recorded young children tearing apart a garage. But who am I to judge? Even so, the unusually harsh review made Cameron and Alexei wonder just why someone would put in the effort to leave it in the first place. Valerie Harris. Next, they found Lyons' profile on Discogs.com, though today it simply shows Australian session bassist. At the time of this series, it looked much different. They were from Adelaide, Australia, described as an experimental artist, and had a long list of aliases such as Winter Couplet and Asics Cloud. But the biggest payoff was seeing their real name, Valerie Scheffner Harris. This led Cameron and Alexei to the YouTube channel Game Theorists, and an actual interview with Harris where it seemed like they had all but confessed to creating Ascensionism. Alexei was then able to track down Harris and conduct his own interview. For them, the name Nick Lyons originated from the band Negative Land. It was meant as a sort of nod to one of their members, Dick Lyons. They claimed that when coming up with Ascensionism, they were studying Scientology and wanted to create something similar, something that told a story, but then it got out of control. As for Ascension Records, it started off as Harris acting alone under various aliases and collecting Bandcamp URLs by typing in words they thought they were cool. They weren't even from Australia. They were simply dating someone who lived in Adelaide. When asked if they actually believed in the Ascensionism ideals, Harris described their perspective as agnostic in terms of what they concretely believed, while clarifying they were able to understand that kind of belief and where it stemmed from. Finally, Alexei asked the big question. Were they involved with the creation of Kanye Quest 3030? Harris answered, quote, "Absolutely not. Nothing direct." Seeming to confirm that there was an indirect connection after all. One thing they made clear was the fact that Ascensionism was, quote, "definitely not a real cult." Or, if someone turned it into one, it wasn't them. Overall, it felt too easy, and the comedic duo soon pieced together the inconsistencies. In later reviewing the footage, Cameron noticed that Harris mentioned being 22 years old. The first mention of Ascensionism online was found in 2006, when Harris would have been 6 years old. This all but confirmed that they couldn't have created Ascensionism. But were they involved with the person who did? And if so, to what extent? Adam T. Orlowski. Seemingly back to the beginning, a fan pointed out the fact that Ascensionism had a record label that, despite quality, actually did produce music. This meant their business would need to be registered in order to operate legally. There was no Ascension Records on the Australian Business Registry, but there was a listing for Ascend Records. Its main place of business was located in Adelaide. Plus, it was registered to N.S. Lyons and A.T. Orlowski. Looking into this new name, they were able to establish contact and schedule an interview with Adam T. Orlowski. After minimal pleasantries, they cut right to the chase. Was he involved with Kanye Quest 3030? Orlowski claimed, quote, "not at all." If true, it begged the question. What was his relationship to Nick Lyons? Apparently, that meant everything based through the record label, the main aim of which was to, quote, "have freedom and creativity through artistry by not placing limits and not having an artistic vision suffocated by a label approach." Though they had been out of touch for a couple of years at the time of this interview, the only thing Orlowski was willing to say of Lyons directly was this, quote, "you wouldn't really be able to spot them in a crowd." And While he did admit to there being a connection between Kanye Quest and Ascensionism, a non-disclosure agreement prevented him from sharing specifics, such as Phoenix's real name. The fact that signing an NDA at all was required only added to the growing mystery. Orlowski was not allowed to say one way or another whether he was an Ascensionist, and, once again, Alexei and Cameron were back to Googling for new leads. Adelaide Nick. Eventually, they discovered a band, Sting and Dune, who appeared in a compilation CD with Nick Lyons. When asked if they remembered Lyons, band members described him as a nice, quiet guy, an impressive composer. But it had been years since they were last in contact with him. The interaction wasn't a total loss. Alexei and Cameron were able to get a copy of the CD, and it was the exact opposite of what they'd heard when listening to Ballarat Nick's music. It seemed this was the work of Adelaide Nick, meaning they officially had two completely different Nick Lyons, and no clue which one was Phoenix. Ballarat Nick, Part 2. The morning after this happened, Alexei and Cameron received a message from Mark Bonanno. He was letting them know that Ballarat Nick had replied to his message after all, and he was willing to meet up. As Sherlock would say, the game was afoot. A meet was scheduled at a cafe in Ballarat for which Bonanno was willing to wear a wire, but there was a hiccup in the plans when Lyons failed to show. It was almost deemed a wasted trip, but as they were leaving, Lyons called Bonanno and agreed to let the group come to his house. There, they were finally able to ask the big question, again, was this guy the creator of Kanye Quest? And again, the answer was a resounding no. For a year, he received messages from people asking about the game and Ascensionism. Lyons claimed he had no clue what it was until then, and those inquiries are what inspired him to compose songs such as Ascensionism. He essentially pretended to be connected to it because it was the, quote, best publicity he had ever had in his life. Now, technically this part is unrelated, but fascinating nonetheless, I would be remiss to leave it out. Aleister Crowley was a fascinating man who died in 1947 that I could easily spend hours discussing. But for today's purpose, you only need to know he was famous for founding the religion Thelema. Roughly translated, it means to wish or want, and its followers were called Thelemites. In 1904, he wrote his own scripture titled The Book of the Law that served as the new religious system's foundation. He claimed it was dictated to him by a disembodied voice he referred to as Awas, and then he declared himself a prophet who would guide humanity into the Aeon of Horus. Today, most refer to him as a paranormalist, and he is well known by those who dabble in the occult. I'm telling you about him because Ballarat Nick happened to own one of his books. It was even autographed. He borrowed a couple of pictures from it, but ultimately stopped using it because a lot of moths and spiders started coming around. He also mentioned having a feeling, quote, like something was going on, something that's a bit out of explanation. It's hard to believe this random connection could also be a coincidence, but this case seems to specialize in the art of chance. Overall, the interview ended on good terms, but without closure. I know we've got a lot of new players in the mix, so just to recap, what we know for sure is that Ballarat Nick had nothing to do with Kanye Quest or Ascensionism, Orlowski is off the table due to an NDA, and Adelaide Nick hasn't been reached. Don't worry, we're almost at the finish line, and if nothing else, I think the answer will surprise you. Bradley Miskell. For the last time, Cameron and Alexei were back to square one. So, they reached out to mentor filmmaker and documentarian, Anna Bronowski. She suggested looking for copycat cults, the hope that they might know enough about the original to provide a new lead. Sure enough, it didn't take long to find the Ascending Brotherhood and their leader, Hidurunk. They spoke to her on Messenger, but she had nothing to do with Kanye Quest and fully credited the inspiration of her cult to daily doses of LSD. She had lots of things she wanted to tell the world about, from cryptocurrency to time travel. The Ascending Brotherhood also began as a mystery in game until Hidurunk eventually recruited several players to work for her cryptocurrency company. This made Cameron and Alexei wonder if Phoenix was also working with others, and they used the Wayback Machine to find an archived version of Phoenix's old Tumblr. There, they discovered a list of people that worked on the game. One by one, they reached out to every artist, musician, and writer, and almost each one was a dead end. Until they got to a game tester called Harmless Tank. He had several profiles on gaming forums and was also from Australia. When Alexei and Cameron weren't able to get a response via email, they left comments on all of Tank's YouTube videos instead. And, eventually, he responded. Not only had this person actually interacted with Phoenix, Cameron and Alexei were the first ones to ever ask him about Kanye Quest. Harmless Tank's real name was Bradley Mescal, and at 16, he met Phoenix through playing Team Fortress 2, except Phoenix was using the name Video James in those days. They eventually became friends and began having video chats on Skype. When asked how he would describe Phoenix's face, Mescal simply said, "delicate." As for the hidden level, he believed the entire thing was a massive troll. If there was a real cult behind the madness, no one had ever tried to recruit him. Now, we've had a decently long wind up for this, so prepare yourselves. This is where we finally learn Phoenix's true identity. Mescal was able to view the friends list on his old Steam account from 2015, and he found the Video James profile. The name was changed to Clara Hope, and they were now a musician in Adelaide. Mescal was even able to provide her Instagram handle, clara.hope.music. Before their interview, she gave Mescal permission to reveal this information. He quoted her as saying, quote, "Yep, oops, started a cult, and even after changing my name and gender, they're still fucking around with me." Clara Hope. After this breakthrough, Alexei and Cameron contacted Clara directly, and she was willing to speak with them as well. For her, this game began as a school project during her senior year, and, for the record, she received a B+, which was obviously an insult, all things considered. Thankfully, her art teacher had better taste and gave her an A for the beautiful piece she created of the Ascensionism Eye. Due to her passion for music, she wanted to include it in the game's theme, and her conflicting feelings towards Kanye as an artist made him an interesting point of focus. The hidden level wasn't even featured in the original release. It came along with a future update that was simply meant to add a fun, extra playthrough. She recognized this was, essentially, a different, second game entirely. But, because people were already noticing and playing Kanye Quest, she chose to simply combine the two. The name Phoenix was chosen purely because she thought it sounded like a cool name. As for religion, she researched New Age cult-like groups online and noticed they all seemed to include the name Ascensionism. To be as confusing as possible, she wanted to use the same name as well so no one could be completely sure what they believed. She didn't have a definite concept in mind. Her intention was to always let people fill in the blanks themselves. She focused on cults specifically due to a relative involved with a similar organization. Though she didn't want to say their name, she described them as, quote, "a religious group famous for suing people," which, yeah, that's probably all we needed to know anyway. Clara hadn't seen that family member for a few years at this point, so she felt compelled to do something on cults specifically showing how they control people and generally tend to look. When asked how she felt about others who have tried to claim responsibility for Kanye Quest, she explained why she wanted to step away from it and, quote, "let them fight over this mess." With anonymous art projects in general, it's often unclear who actually runs things or owns it. Clara also confirmed working with Orlowski and having him sign the NDA. Interestingly enough, she was sent a cease and desist notice by the lawyers of Tupac's estate after using the rapper's name and a photograph. As a result, she removed his picture and replaced it with a generic avatar. So, after all this time, why did Clara agree to come clean? She said, quote, "Even though I've really stopped having anything to do with this game for a long time, new people keep seeming to find it and start investigating it again and again. I figured I might as well just say that, yeah, it was me who made it, and resolve the mystery. That seemed to be what a lot of people were looking for. Some sort of resolution." She described only a slight feeling of loss. After all, every story must come to an end. In a way, the game will live on through the countless projects it's since inspired, and continues to inspire even now. It truly does go to show you, if you really put your mind to it, you can accomplish just about anything. We've been out here looking for cults, and here was this high school kid just trying to get her diploma. How's that for anticlimactic, huh? Conclusion. I guess those are the breaks when you dive into an internet legend, or who knows, maybe the cult didn't like how much heat their game's exposure ultimately brought. So they gave us a new story. One starring a prodigy they could trust. Probably not, but if someone really wants to find a conspiracy, they don't need my half-assed attempts to formulate them. If you want to know more about Kanye Quest 3030, maybe see a little gameplay in action, then you should check out Nexpo and Mama Max before the Finding Yeezus series. Just please be respectful to the people involved. This is simply an informative walkthrough on a fascinating ARG, not a reason to disrupt people in their daily lives.